At this point, Susie's going to show a video. The video, before she shows the video, I'm going to give a little explanation of it. So, for the next, I believe, 7 weeks, I'm going to be preaching about who we are as Free Methodists. I've never really preached this. Typically, my whole pastoral life, I've preached through a book of the Bible, aside from maybe Christmas, where I've kind of preached book to book because of the Christmas story being in a few of the Gospels. But I've thought maybe it's about time I preach about who we are as Free Methodists. A lot of people come to this church outside of the Free Methodist Church. People come from different denominations, and I know a lot of people have told me they're different walks of life. And I thought, even though we are many different backgrounds when it comes to the church, it'd be good to just give a history lesson on what it means to be a part of the Free Methodist Church. So that'll be the next 7 weeks. Now, for those of you who are worried, oh, man, I just don't want a history lesson on the church. I really want the Bible. Don't worry. My plan is to take our theology and the scriptures that we derive our theology from and really preach through the scriptures. This is why we believe what we believe and why we are who we are. So if you're like, oh man, I just don't want this history lesson. I want the word. Don't worry. I'm going to be preaching the word. It's going to be mixed into why we believe what we believe and who we are as a church. And so I thought we'd start with a little bit of that history. Hopefully you actually enjoy a little bit of history and you'll learn something from this short video. It's 4 minutes.
John Wesley founded the Methodist movement in the 1700s. Wesley believed that all people could know the incredible love of God, experience his life-transforming power, and serve the marginalized and vulnerable. He also believed that it was up to Jesus' followers to get this word out.
The Methodist movement found its way from England to North America in 1860. B.T. Roberts and other Methodists founded the Free Methodist Church in an effort to renew Wesley's vision. Around the same time in Canada, Methodists were fractured into 7 different denominations, and attempts to unite them bothered some, including Robert Lovelace, a member of a Methodist church in Toronto, Ontario.
In 1873, Lovelace found a copy of B.T. Roberts' Earnest Christian magazine in a post office. He was moved by what he read about the passion and vision of the Free Methodist Church, and he invited Roberts to speak in Toronto.
3 years later, B.T. Roberts sent Charles Sage as a missionary to Canada. Sage was joined by Daniel Marston in 1878, and their work for the next several years involved meeting with Canadian Methodists who were troubled by the move away from John Wesley's fundamental teachings.
These discontented Methodists formed new Free Methodist congregations throughout southwestern Ontario. In 1880, B.T. Roberts held a meeting in Galt, Ontario, to organize the Canadian Annual Conference, and 3 years later, Reverend Albert Sims was appointed as the first Canadian superintendent overseeing the work of the Free Methodist Church in Canada. Other early conference appointments included both men and women.
Over the next 40 years, more annual conferences spread across the country. In 1920, Canadian leaders gathered in Sarnia, Ontario, where a Canadian identity emerged.
New goals included the development of the Canadian Free Methodist Herald magazine, founding Canadian pastoral training schools, and the establishment of a Canadian executive board. The next 40 years were dedicated to fulfilling these new goals. In 1974, the Canadian Jurisdictional Conference was approved, and Bishop Donald Bastian was elected as Canada's first bishop.
Bastian led the Free Methodist Church in Canada for 20 years through growth, leadership development, and organizational maturity. 16 years later, the Canadian Jurisdictional Conference became the Canadian General Conference. At the 1993 General Conference, a motion was put forward by a thorough study of denominational structures and procedures. This became newly elected Bishop Gary Walsh's key assignment for the next several years.
What emerged from this process was a renewed emphasis on the pivotal role of local churches in advancing the gospel in communities across Canada. Bishop Keith Elford continued the process of implementing the new structure and systems, which included the creation of a regional pastoral network, which meets for mutual support, fellowship, and connection.
In 2017, the FMCIC elected Bishop Cliff Fletcher with a mandate to understand, what kind of church does Canada need? In response to this question, the FMCIC has committed to developing a friendship with our Indigenous brothers and sisters. Our intercultural engagement team has also pointed us to new Canadians by partnering with international student ministries.
We continue to minister in Sri Lanka, Ghana, India, as well as partnering with International Child Care and Tear Fund.
The FMCIC has also appointed regional coaches in order to have more pastoral contact and local church support.
Task forces have been formed to consider racial justice and ethnic equity.
And the FMCIC's relationship with the LGBTQ2S+ community.
A team has been created to mobilize churches in their ministry to family and children. All of these initiatives, and more like them, are about positioning the FMCIC to introduce people to Jesus,
change the world one person at a time, and alleviate suffering. We still are free.
It was actually a little bit old. Like a year ago, we nominated a new bishop, and was in spring of last year, we elected our new bishop. Her name is Bishop Linda, and some of those committees have since been dissolved as well because they did their work, reported at General Conference. That was last year in June, and so now there's new work to be done, and new positions are being appointed to start a new season in the Free Methodist Church. Some of that you might be interested in. Some of it maybe you're like, okay, well, that's kind of neat, but what does it have to do with us here? And you can see that some of the things we do partner in, like the ICCM, like we just collected the funds that will go out to kids in Haiti and stuff like that. And there are opportunities for us as a church to become more aware of what the Free Methodist Church is doing globally. But I think it's important to first figure out, what is our Free Methodist identity? Who are we as a church? When you come to this church, you might say, well, I've heard people say this. I didn't even know what a Free Methodist was. I didn't even know this church was Free Methodist. On our door, we have North Grenville Community Church. We are a community church, which means we're about our community, and we're a church, which means we serve as a place for Christians to gather. So that's what we are primarily. We're a Christian church. Free Methodists are also evangelical, which means that we believe in preaching of the gospel. Evangelical in today's world, especially in the States, can take on a completely different meaning. It gets very politicized, that there's a evangelical right wing of a political movement. But in the real sense of the meaning of the word, evangelical means that we preach the good news of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, the Messiah, who was predicted in the Old Testament, who came forth and was born as a virgin, like we just celebrated in Christmas, died on the cross as we celebrate in Easter, and rose from the dead. And that if we put our hope and our faith and our trust in him, then we have eternal life, and we start a relationship with Jesus that grows. So that's what we mean by the sense of evangelical. We are also orthodox in our beliefs, which means we hold to the teachings of the scripture. We don't have any supplementary teachings like some religions do, where they say, oh yeah, we believe in the Bible, but we also believe in this book and that book and other books. We are orthodox in our practice. We believe the teachings of the church throughout the years, that there's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit, and that this is what the Bible teaches. We are liturgical. Now, this church particular and other Free Methodist churches, what that means to be liturgical can take on different meanings. It could mean that we're going to practice communion today, which is what we will do. We will take part in communion. For some churches, they might have other traditions that they practice regularly. So some different readings, different just traditions. That's what we mean by the word liturgical, that there's certain traditions that we have carried through the years that we practice in our service as we gather to practice and worship together. We are also charismatic. Now, that scares some people because they wonder what that means. They've heard of some people maybe speaking in tongues or being slain in the spirit or believing in signs and wonders. And I'll tell you, as a church, we actually do believe those things. We believe that the Holy Spirit comes when we believe and put our trust and our hope and our faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. And that as the Holy Spirit works through us, he gives us gifts. And sometimes those he works through signs and wonders, and which could be miracles such as healings or prophecy, which is the ability to hear from God and to speak truths that otherwise we wouldn't know unless God revealed those things to us. We also believe in tongues, believe it or not, even though you might not walk in too many churches today and hear tongues. But you might not hear it because we also believe that it is a gift for the unbeliever, which should be accompanied by, needs to be accompanied by, according to the scripture, interpretation. So some charismatic churches, you'll walk into a church and they'll be speaking in tongues and you won't hear an interpretation. But we believe that the scripture teaches that that needs to be accompanied by an interpretation. And so we believe those things are possible. That's what we mean by that we are charismatic, that we believe the Holy Spirit still works today like he did in the Bible. And so when we pray in our church and you ask your pastor to pray for you, I believe God can speak to us through revelation. God can give us the ability to lay hands on people and see healings happen. This is a part of our tradition of who we are as a Free Methodist Church. But some of you might be wondering, okay, well, how about these words free and Methodist? Well, the video that you just saw there kind of gave a very brief analysis of how the Free Methodist Church came together. But today I want to look at the scriptures that really talk about what it means to be free. Because if you're thinking about the word itself, Free Methodist, you have the word free and you have the word Methodist. And next week I'm going to talk about Methodism and what it means to be a Methodist and the teachings of John Wesley. But today I really want to believe, I want to preach that we believe as a church that we are free. Because we can get caught up with the Methodism of everything. That everything needs a method. And actually, when some people read the Bible, they think it's a book of rules, right? You ever hear people say, well, I don't want to just follow by a book of rules. But when I read the scripture and when I see what Jesus says, really, he offers us freedom. Now, are there commands in scripture? Yeah, there are commands that can be read like rules. But if we really believe, and I believe the Free Methodist Church teaches us, that God sets us free, then we are free to obey. We are free to serve. We are free to submit. It means we don't have to. Nobody's forcing us to do anything, but it's out of our desire. It's out of our will that we want to please God, and we are free to do that. Jesus talks about this in John chapter 8. Verse 31. He says this, John chapter 8, starting at verse 31, he says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, when we're talking about the history of the church and when we're talking about what it means to be a part of a church and who we are as a church, really, we're not trying to do that to control you. You ever hear people say, oh, if you're religious, you're just a part of a cult. You ever hear people say that? People will say these things. But the reality is, if they came and heard what the pastor preaches, if they came here and heard what Jesus actually has to offer, he's not trying to control us. He's trying to set us free. And so some people will say, well, free from what? I don't feel trapped. I don't feel enslaved. Free from what? Well, Jesus actually gets into this discussion with the people who were listening to him. They answered him and said, we are Abraham's descendants and we've never been a slave to anyone. I'm not a slave, they say. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Think about that for a second. A lot of people in this world still today, this is 2,000 years ago, Jesus is talking to people in his day, and he's saying, hey, listen, the truth will set you free. They're saying, free from what? I don't feel like I need to be free from everything. So I would say the people in Jesus' day, they were blind to their own sin, that sin was had a grip on them, that sin had entrapped them in some way. Now let me ask you this, 2,000 years later, is it any different from people who do not know Christ? Would they say that they're free? A lot of people would say they're technically free. Well, you know, oh, we believe we live in a free country, you know. We believe in human rights and freedoms, right? But when it comes to what Jesus is offering for freedom, people don't even recognize that they're still trapped in sin. In the book of Romans, Romans chapter 7, Paul explains it this way. He says, I do the things that I don't want to do, and the things that I want to do, I can't seem to do. You make some New Year's resolutions, people? Eh? I want to do this or I want to do that. Boom, you break them right away. You can't seem to do them. Oh, I want to be a better person. I want to do these things. You can't do them. You can't keep following them. That's a part of our sin nature. You know, you want to love your neighbor as yourself and you're having a hard time just loving people who are in your life, people who you know you should love because maybe they're even your own family and you just can't seem to love them. That's sin that entraps our hearts, that entraps our lives. But what Jesus is saying is, hey, people, you don't even know that you need to be set free. So when we're talking about being part of the Free Methodist Church and who we are, listen, as a church, we're going to be all about freedom and that people need to be set free, even though they might not see the need to be set free. You might have friends, you might have family members, you might have neighbors, co-workers, and you can see how sin is trapping them, but they can't see the sin that traps them. You can even look in your own life and see how sin has trapped you and sometimes still comes knocking at the door, trying to grab a hold of you again. But Jesus says, if you believe in the truth, you will know the truth will set you free. And then he says, but you as a son belong, oh, hold on, he says, very truly, everyone who is slave to sin, who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Jesus invites us into being a part of the family of God. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your Father. So we need freedom from sin. As Free Methodists, we also believe that we have free will. Some churches throughout church history have taught determinism, or other churches might call it another name, a form of teaching from a man named John Calvin, where they read the word predestination mean that God chooses you and you have no choice in the matter. In other words, God would look out into human history and he would know who is going to heaven and who is going to hell, and that is God's choice, and we have no choice in the matter. That is not what we believe as Free Methodists. We believe that God gives us free will. Now, we do believe that it is God who saves. We cannot save ourselves. Jesus Christ is needed for our salvation, that when he died on the cross, he paid the price for our sins, but we have the choice and we have free will to respond to that choice. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, Peter starts talking about our need to submit to human authority. And a lot of people have this confusion about freedom. They believe if you're free, then you don't submit to anyone. Well, I'm a free man. I work for myself. I don't submit to anyone. But the contrary is true, I believe, is that we, once we are free to serve, we are free to submit, We are free to give our lives wherever we want. The reality is that a lot of people who believe they're free and yet have the inability to submit or the inability to serve are only slaves to themselves and their own flesh. But when God sets us free, he sets us free to serve other peoples. And so Paul explains this. He says, Peter explains this. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor or to the supreme authority, as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong or to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. See, what people would do is they believe that they were free from sin. They were free as Christians to now go do whatever they want, and so they would rebel against the authority. This still happens in today's world. People don't want to be under the government. If they don't trust the government, they say they want nothing to do with the government, so they claim, oh, I just want to be free from the government. But Peter and Paul also talks about this in Romans chapter 13. He says that the government is there for our good, and actually that if we serve in a way that shines our light as Christians and do good, that God can actually use us under this governmental system. And what does this have to do with freedoms? Some people would say, well, if you serve the government, you're not free. You're under the oppression of the government. But the Bible says the opposite. Says you are free. You're free to do whatever you want. But God says use your freedom to do good, not evil. One more scripture I want to take you to is Galatians chapter 5. Sometimes in churches, we can say, okay, so if you're going to submit under the authority of the government, you should also submit under the authority of your church leaders. And so you should do everything the way we would have you do. And I don't know if you've ever been into a very strict religious church. Sometimes we call these churches fundamentalist churches, where unless you do things our way, you are not really a Christian or you're not really saved. And so people are being put under a burden or a yoke. And this even happened to the church in Galatia, where they were trying to bring them under the laws of circumcision. They said, oh, if you're really a Christian, you'll do what the Jews do and get circumcised. And Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 5. He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened under again, by a yoke of slavery. So what Paul's telling the church in Galatia there is, hey, guys, why do you want to go back under circumcision when you've been set free from the way things were in the past? Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you yourself let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to you, every man who lets himself be circumcised, that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for the agitators, I wish that they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. And then he says this, you, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free, but not to use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, rather to serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. There's a lot of weighty theology there, and you might be saying, Pastor, why did you read that? What does that have to do with anything? Okay, so let me just recap everything here. We are a free Methodist church. We believe in freedom. Now, when we hear that word freedom, there tends to be two directions that people take this. We say, oh, you're free from sin. We also say you're free from the law. People tend to take freedom to two extremes. They either say, okay, now that we're free, you should do everything that I have to say. And we call that legalism. Or they say, oh, I'm free. I don't have to listen to anyone or do anything anyone ever has to say. And then they go to another extreme. Call that liberalism, where they live however they want without submitting to anyone. It's interesting that we see these polarizing extremes. And what does Jesus say? He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And then he describes himself as a narrow gate that we can only go through him. He says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. It's easy to use your freedom to go wherever you want to go. But Jesus calls us to follow him and to use our freedom to follow him. Which means that what Paul is saying, when freedom entered the church, people came along and said, well, yeah, you got to use your freedom to do it our way. And others were saying, well, no, you need to use your freedom to do whatever you want, even engage in sinful acts. And what Paul says is that what we should actually use our freedom for is to be led by the Spirit, not be under the law, and to serve each other in love. So, to kind of summarize everything, what does it look like to be a part of a free Methodist church where we believe in freedom? You are invited to be free from sin. We believe that the things that would grip you as a human being here on this earth, that God doesn't want for you, God can set you free from those things. From lust, from anger, from jealousy, unforgiveness, from addiction. We believe God sets people free from those things. And the list goes on of sins that God can set us free from. We also believe that we're a church who chooses Jesus. There's no forcing anyone to obey a certain strict rules in order to be saved, right? I'm not looking at you and say, hey, unless you do these things, you're not in the club. You are free to serve Jesus, and serving Jesus is how you are saved. It's that easy. Believe in Jesus, have faith in Jesus, you're a part of his family. That's freedom. But we're also free to use that freedom to love and to serve each other. I won't tell you how to do it. I won't say, hey, you better show up on Wednesday night and make sure that you're serving here or serving there at the church. But what we'll say is use your freedom to love each other. And you should want to show up and serve your community because of the love that God has given you. So this is the type of freedom when we say we're free Methodists that we're talking about. I hope you get a picture of the freedom that Jesus offers us. A picture of the freedom that what it means to be a part of the Free Methodist Church. Actually, after I preach next week on what it means to be a Methodist, I'm going to go into a five-part series and talk about the history of the Free Methodist Church and the five freedoms that really started the Free Methodist Church movement. And one is a freedom from slavery. One was free to come and worship because they were paying for pews. They were freedom from sin because we believe in holiness. Freedom from secret societies. That'll be an interesting sermon to preach about that. Freedom from secret societies. And we also believe in the last one, free, is we believe in the freedom of the moving of the Holy Spirit, that we're not going to restrict how the Holy Spirit moves. Those are the five frees that the Free Methodist Church was based on, and I'm going to take a week at a time to go through each one of those frees after I preach next week on Methodism. Hopefully you'll join me, and you'll enjoy this sermon series on what it means to be a Free Methodist.